And exactly what is consciousness when you hear it? Let's spend some time and talk with Dr. Bruce Lipton about that, his newest book, The Honeymoon Effect. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Bruce Lipton with us. Bruce, let's take a few moments to talk about consciousness as it's tied into everything you've done. What the heck is it?
Well, you know, consciousness has this whole kind of range of definitions from a simple one sentence to pages. And so I like to take it down to the fundamental level, the basic level of consciousness is awareness, being aware of thought of the environment and being able to make a response with that awareness. So primitive organisms have consciousness. Bacteria are conscious of the world in which they live. It's just a very limited amount of consciousness. As you have more intelligence in the system, you can expand on that definition of consciousness. It's more powerful. So basically it is how much awareness we have and the ability to use that awareness in creating our lives.
Okay, now, is it like the wireless internet of life, basically?
The consciousness?
Yeah.
Well, it basically, as far as we know at the best level, it's not in the system at all. It's in the field, and it's downloaded into your system. And you have each of us has a unique station or broadcast that we respond to, which are related to what are called self receptors, which is an interesting name. On the surface of each of us and our cells, except for the red blood cells, our cells have identity receptors, antennas called self receptors, which when you want to transplant an organ, you have to try and match as many of the self receptors between the donor and the recipient because it would cause an extreme rejection if you don't match them as close as you can. Well, the relevance about these receptors is that they're on the outer surface of the cell. Your identity is being picked up by a set of antennas on the outside, which by definition really says that the information coming in is coming in from outside the cell into the cell. And this really opens up this wonderful story that really connects quantum physics and ancient wisdom and brings it all together in a current scientific format that is profoundly interesting, because it really says that we are far more than these bodies, that we are more or less a broadcast, and that we operate through these bodies, and these bodies are an extension of our spiritual or conscious awareness. The analogy I love to give people, because it makes so much sense, is we can't go to Mars. It's too far away. Can't get there. I want to know what it's like to live on Mars. So we send up a rover. And the rover has an antenna. And the guy at NASA controls the rover by sending up a broadcast. The rover moves all around on the planet. The rover has receptors, eyes, ears, taste, the chemical receptors. It's designed to sample the environment. Well, that information is from the receptors is sent via the same antenna back to the guy at NASA. So while the guy at NASA can't go to Mars, he can certainly get a human experience of what it's like to live on Mars by connecting to all this information. Well, in a real sense, we're Earthlanders. That there's an identity being picked up by a broadcast receiver in the cells. The cells move around in response to the driving of this broadcast. The cells pick up information through all the receptors, and the nervous system translates all the inputs into vibration, and those vibrations get sent back to source. So it really becomes this most amazing insight that we're not even here, but we're in these bodies. Like the body is the equivalent of a virtual reality suit. With a body, you have eyes, so you can see, and you have taste buds, and you can smell things, and you can hear things because of all the receptors. So the physical body is like a virtual reality suit for a conscious spirit. When you step into it, you can sense and feel. You can drive it around. You can create with it. And that's the most wonderful understanding, because it's understood by quantum physics that it's consciousness that is creating the world. I mean, this was the original statements of the early quantum physicists, Arthur Eddington. He said, it is difficult for the matter-of-fact physicist to accept the view that the substratum of everything is of mental character. Sir James Jeans, I love this one. The stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. Mind no longer appears to be an accidental intruder into the realm of matter. We ought rather hail it as the creator and the governor of the realm of matter. And this is fundamental quantum physics from day one. And the fact is what? We are creating with our consciousness. And our consciousness is not a physical entity, but it is more or less a broadcast. I don't know necessarily where the source is, but there's a two-way street, information coming into the body and the body sending information back about the creation or what we are manifesting in the world that we live in.
Are you convinced, Bruce, that there is a source? You might not know where it is, but that there is one?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and it's interesting because I think part of it, I would really emphasize that it's really connected to the solar system, primarily the sun, and the planets are modifiers or modulators of the broadcast of information from the sun, which is picked up by radio telescopes everywhere. So there's an astrological connection to our personal lives and our identity, and yet there's something more because there's free will, which throws a whole monkey wrench in astrology because they have to account for it. If you become more conscious, you're not as linked to the astrology because free will, you have an opportunity to not respond to the vibrations as people who are not expressing that free will.
If you can tap into consciousness, can you accomplish incredible things, even many of the things you say in the honeymoon effect?
Well, that was the whole idea. This is a place of creation.
Yes.
And the fact is, when we tap into our own consciousness, the creative expression that we have is beyond anybody's awareness of how powerful we are. When we buy into other people's beliefs about creation, then our limitations are based on their beliefs. But I love some examples. You know, everyone talks about the fire walking in the hot coals and all that. It's based on the belief. If you're walking across the coals and you have a momentary suspension of your belief that all of a sudden there's a moment of doubt that you can do this, it is at that moment you get burned. You know, here's a wonderful one. I mean, I say to people, hey, listen, go outside and pick up your car. And it's like, I can't pick up the car. You know, weightmen, you know, people who lift weights for a living, you know, the big guys can, you know, some of them can do that. And I say, and then read about, you know, 15-year-old kids or women who lift up cars to get a loved one out or a
yes.
child out.
And the adrenaline kicks.
This is a belief system. And if I just add one more, because this is a really cool one. The people down south that work themselves up into a religious ecstasy, and then they do testifying that God protects them. Many of them are serpent handlers, handling very poisonous snakes. Even if they get bitten, there's no problem. But the one that's so cool is that some of them drink strychnine poison in toxic doses, and in the belief that God protects them, they have no adverse consequences. And all of a sudden you say, how powerful are we? Well, you can drink poison, you could lift up the car, you can walk across hot coals, and all of a sudden it's like, everybody can do that, except we don't believe it for most of us.
That's absolutely true. People have this incredible ability, and that, of course, is incredible consciousness.
That's it. It's letting go of the program that says you couldn't do it.
And true.
That's the issue we all have to work with. We're all in the process of trying to undo the programs that we grew up with for a very simple reason, and that is this. Science has already recognized as a fact. It's a fact that we're going through the sixth mass extinction of life on this planet. Five times it essentially got wiped out and started all over again. But the earlier five are attributed to things like comets or asteroids hitting the environment, destroying life, etc. But we're in the sixth mass extinction, losing species of organisms at rates faster than the previous mass extinctions. But the difference is this. That science has recognized that the cause is human behavior. We have been programmed to live on this planet in such a way that we're undermining our own existence. And the only way out of this is to change the programming and change the fundamental beliefs that have led us this way. And that's why I get so excited about the world is, like most of us, is falling apart. And I'm going, yeah, this is great, because it's the beliefs being held by our conventional foundational institutions that have brought us to the edge of this extinction. The only way out, as Einstein would say, you keep doing the same thing, expect something different. That's crazy. It's like, was time to do something different, and so the structure is falling apart, and we're moving into new belief.
In the honeymoon effect, and let's use couples as an example, do they both have to be into this state of bliss for it to work?
Well, they both have to be aware of what's going on. I mean, you can step in and out of the bliss based on where you're going to put your focus of consciousness, but in order for it to work effectively, both people have to be coming from the same creative place, a creative place where all of their cognitive decisions are based on their wishes and their desires and not directed by previous programming. And so this is when you let go of the program, you take the red pill, and at that moment, you're not limited by the program. Guess what? No longer is your life limited by those beliefs. And when the limitations are gone, things like the extremes that we just talked about, drinking strychnine poison, lifting a car, that's part of it. But creating heaven on earth is the main part, because you start to manifest your wishes and your desires. And in this creative world, you actually do that. And this is why I love the book about it. It's like when you tell people, yes, you create your own life, and most people go, yeah, right. And then the fact is, yeah, but the honeymoon was your personal creation. And when you did have that experience and you found how life was so beautiful and so exciting, no matter where you were before you met this individual that came into your life, you start to realize that, oh, my God, you could have this every day of your life. You created it. There's no reason to lose it. The only reason you lose it is, we're still stuck with the original programming until we rewrite the subconscious.
Bruce, and you believe that people who are in this zone, the honeymoon effect zone, do you think they are the ones that are changing society? They're the ones that are coming up with the new inventions and things like that?
Well, I don't know if they're necessarily contributing at that level. Of course, they're free to do that because they're following their bliss, which is when people, you know, get off the main track, get out of the box and start following their bliss, is when they start finding all the great stuff that you can't find inside the box. And so, of course, it would lead to that. But it also changes this. When people are in love, their vibration changes. There's a harmony. That vibration is an expression. It's every atom and molecule gives off energy. So all the atoms and molecules of your body are vibrating, giving off all this energy. And when you're in love, you give off this very powerful harmonic of, it's like a sine wave, a beautiful, nice curve. And why that's relevant is because other people get affected by it. So when you're around people who are fully in love all the time, it rubs off on you. It actually doesn't rub off on you. It changes your vibration. And so more people, as they fall in love, will bring other people into the circle of falling in love. And when people do this, there's all of a sudden this reality that we can let go of the structure that we've been programmed with. And as more and more people let go and more people start going following their bliss, be it work, as you mentioned, or be it in relationship with another person, if you're following your bliss, you're giving off a harmonic of energy that entangles and strengthens other people. And that's what the world needs to find, is that love, because love is the glue that holds it all together.
Why does this planet have so much hate, when it would seem so easy that it could all be reversed?
Well, unfortunately, this is the part that I didn't really want to go into in my own life to look at that, but there's a simple reality, and that is that in order to control people, you have to disempower them. And how you disempower people is you break them apart, you break up the nature of community, you get one side against another side.
Yes.
And while all that's going on, the power people at the top are winning from both sides that are in the combat. Doesn't make a difference to them. We have been programmed to be disempowered. I mean, Tony Benn, a liberal member of parliament in London, he had a wonderful interview with Michael Moore. And in that interview, Tony Benn simply said, governments do not want a healthy, intelligent population because they are difficult to control. And then you look at the United States at this moment where, my God, health-wise, we're at the bottom of the barrel, and intelligence-wise, I think we're pushing the bottom of the barrel on that one as well. So over the time period, guess what? We've lost our strength, our backbone. We've become weaker. We've become less intelligent. And you say, well, that's just the way life is, and I don't believe that for a second. I believe that's the way of life being programmed and controlled. And this is the time for us to wake up, because we are much more powerful than any of the programs. But if you don't know you've been programmed, then it's invisible and fish in water.
How about some techniques to get into this honeymoon mode?
Yeah, well, this is the most important part. And the most important part is to recognize that why did the honeymoon go away? And the answer is because when you started playing some of those subconscious programs that you got from your parents, you weren't playing them during the honeymoon. And all of a sudden you introduce these new behaviors to the honeymoon, and they're like sabotaging you because they're behaviors that are not supportive of you. Even if you saw them yourself, you'd be shocked of what you're doing. So basically, the necessity is to identify where you're not succeeding and rewrite the programming to do that. Now, there's two parts of where am I not succeeding, and part two, how do I change the programming? So the first part is simple. You've been programmed through all your life experiences, and there's a tendency like psychology. Let's go back over your history. Oh, your mom did this, and your dad did this, and we start blaming all these people. It's like, well, this is a waste of time. Because that's killing the messenger over the message. The message is, what behavior did you walk away with, not who gave you the behavior. So and I said, well, how do I know what the behavior was? It was being programmed when I was in utero, and it was first 7 years. I don't know what the programming was. And here's the fun part, the simple part. You don't have to go backwards to know what the programming is. 95% of your life is coming from the program. So all you have to do is look at your life, and the first thing you say is, hey, the things that work, you got programs that support those. Anything in your life that you struggle at, anything you have to work hard at, anything you have to sweat at to make it happen, why are you working so hard? And the answer is basically very simple. It's because you don't have belief programs that support that. So basically it says, okay, you don't have to go back in history. Just look at your life at this moment and say, what is it I have to work at that I'm trying to get to and I can't get there? And the relevance is, because there's a belief in your system that's not supporting that. And that's then it's time to change the beliefs. And the problem with that is another belief, because most people's belief is, oh, it's difficult or hard to change this. And that's the first monkey wrench in the system, just having that belief, because it's not. It's simple to change it, except you have to understand how it works. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. And the biggest problem that most people have is that they think that the conscious mind and the subconscious mind are one and the same and connected. The reason why that becomes an important belief, and it's wrong, is you say, well, if I educate my conscious mind, then my subconscious mind should immediately follow along with this new belief. And it goes, that's a failure. The conscious mind and the subconscious mind are two different entities. The conscious mind has you in it. The subconscious mind is the equivalent of a tape recorder. It's like a video recorder. It recorded everything and downloaded it straight in. There was nobody in there. And then we try to change our minds by talking to ourselves. And that's the folly, for a simple reason, is who are you talking to? You say, well, I'm talking to my subconscious. I go, yeah, but there's nobody in there. It's a machine. So it's not going to work that way. And then you have to say, the two minds learn in different ways. The conscious mind is creative. That's the one that can learn from going to a lecture, watching a video. Conscious mind can learn from, aha, I got it. That's all it takes. It's just creative. The subconscious mind is habits and programs. And I say, the issue about that is, how do you change it? And the answer is, how did you learn it? And there were two ways fundamentally that the subconscious learns. One, hypnosis for 7 years of your life. You were downloading behavior by just observing it. You weren't even conscious. Your consciousness started after seven. Okay, so hypnosis is a way of putting data in. And I say, well, after seven, now you're conscious. How do you put things in the subconscious? And I go, habit, repetition. So I say, so you find a belief system that you have that's not supporting you and you want to change it. Well, there's two fundamental ways. Hypnosis, or you can use subliminal tapes, which is a form of hypnosis.
Sure.
Or you can create a habit, which is a process of every time you find yourself going off track, you just correct it and not get mad at yourself. You just have to say, this is not what I want. This is what I want. And every time you correct it, it starts making a habit that will ultimately stem the problem from the beginning.
We're coming back with more with Dr. Bruce Lipton, your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Those of you who listen to us on XM, we are changing channels as of Wednesday into Thursday. Next week, May 8th, XM Talk 246 will be where you can find us. Just circle that, remember that. Switching on May 8th, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, XM Talk, the new channel, 246. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, Bruce Lipton with us. We'll take your calls as well. Bruce, this state of bliss, this honeymoon effect, what is it scientifically that gets people to feel so excited, so happy?
Oh, it's the mixture of the wonderful neurosecretions that come out when you start moving in the direction of fulfilling that biological imperative, which is driving us to make relationships to support the survival of the species. So nature, as I said, directs us with pleasure and pain chemicals to push us in the direction where we want to go. You get, when you're doing something right, you get pleasure out of it. And when you're something that is against your biological imperative is pain. So seeking a relationship is encouraged by nature through the release of these chemicals, which encourage us to follow that same behavior. So basically includes the main ones are dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin. And these are the three main ones that give us the pleasure from doing that bonding and keep us tied together to continue seeking that pleasure as much as if you were a heroin addict or a meth addict. You go after where that pleasure was coming from, and the oxytocin says, this is where you get it, and it drives you to make bonds with other people where you get pleasure.
Now, people who are negative, energy sappers, psychic vampires, Bruce, they're out there. Are they still in this state of bliss, this honeymoon effect? Can they be?
I doubt it very much because really the love part, and again, I mentioned earlier, it's love for ourselves that is really critical. And people who are the psychic vampires, people who have grounded their energy, so to speak, and are sucking energy from other people, are not in that state. So I really doubt that they will personally experience that honeymoon effect, because they're not living in harmony. Harmony is love comes from harmony. Fear comes from disharmony. And so we have a tendency to move and strive toward that harmony when we're not in it, which is characteristics of like the energy vampires that are sucking the energy. They're not living in harmony and balance. So I doubt very much that they'll really have that kind of experience that we're talking about, the honeymoon experience.
Okay, let's go to some calls here. We'll go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Eric on the wild card line. Go ahead, Eric.
Hello, George. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Eric.
How's it going?
Good.
I just I had a few questions about the first thing that popped in my head when you're talking about this good consciousness, and I'm thinking like this is the old adage that people have been trying to figure out for centuries what is good. And the first thing that popped in my head was Clockwork Orange, and thinking about like little Alex thriving on ultraviolence and falling in love with what he was doing and what he considered to be good at, and then the reconditioning of trying to turn that around on him. And I'm just looking at the negative for other people that might be thriving on this type of
Are you able to pick that up, Bruce?
Well, it was kind of, I was getting a lot of it, but if I could get the thing shorter, we can probably work on it.
Eric, you're a little muffled.
Hello?
Hey, Eric.
You can hear me?
Yeah, but it was
there,
kind of muffled,
a little better. You're kind of muffled.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I'm just like thinking about A Clockwork Orange and little Alex and the conditioning of like how we would think that if we're doing a good act, but what little Alex was, he loved ultraviolence, and he had that romance stage doing bad acts. Now, is there reverse effects towards people that actually do believe that they think that they're doing good?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to follow the programming, and if the programming says this is the way that you do good, I mean, look, people end up, some of them are called sadomasochists, right? They abuse each other. One gets abused, one's doing the abusing. This is kind of really wow. Except for both of them have been programmed a little bit off balance, but when the two come together, they balance each other out. It creates what's called a codependent relationship. It's not healthy, and it really doesn't really work very much, because codependency is a problem. The issue is, it's time, we have to reprogram, but we can be misprogrammed. That is profoundly important that you brought up, because the misprogramming brings us into a world where a lot of behaviors that are really detrimental are viewed by those programmers that created them as, this is serving some particular purpose. So when we wake up to ourselves, we have to find out, how do you feel personally about this when you're in your conscious mind about what's going on in your life and your behavior, not following the program? And again, that's the whole issue, the matrix issue of getting out of the programming, because it's not been beneficial in the long run.
Is science working on this at all, Bruce, or are they leaving it up to, folks like yourself?
What's that, to change the belief systems? Or?
Yeah.
Well, science is still locked into a Newtonian world that everything is chemistry and genes and all that. The new epigenetics, though, is the science that is moving us out of that world, because epigenetics is a science of how your response to the environment adjusts your biology and your behavior and your genetics, not your genes, not your chemistry, but it's how you respond to the world. And this has always been outside the realm of conventional medicine, except for the fact that it's the whole basis of what is called the placebo effect. The placebo effect is the mind stepping in and creating healing in spite of the fact that the pill you thought was, you know, so powerful turns out to be a sugar pill. It wasn't the pill that healed you, it was the mind that healed you. And so we talk about the positive influences of the mind, and we call that the placebo effect, and that's really cool. But what we don't bring up in public enough is that what about the effect of negative thinking? And there's actually a word for that. It's called the nocebo effect. And basically, the positive thinking can take you in the direction of healing, health, and harmony, but negative beliefs can actually create the disease and can actually kill you. So we've left out the issue about what are the consequences of negative beliefs. Science has recognized as equally powerful as positive beliefs, but work in the opposite direction. And then you say, so what does that mean for us? And I say, well, psychologists have revealed 70% or more of the programming we got is disempowering and self-sabotaging and limiting. So basically, our lives are not as much controlled by the placebo effect, which can create the honeymoon, positive thinking. It's more or less controlled by the programming, which activates the nocebo effect, which is negative self-sabotaging and behavior that will undermine your whole life. So while science doesn't want to talk about it, they acknowledge it, but it's going to be people from the outside that are going to do it for a very simple reason, George, and that is the pharmaceutical industry makes money selling drugs. If you could heal yourself without the drugs, then all of a sudden that would violate the entire corporate foundation of standardized medicine, and they're not willing to give it up. So will conventional science get out there and finally recognize the nature of all this epigenetics? Yes, it will. But we have to undo the control and limitation by the pharmaceutical industry, which is the ultimate regulator of what is taken for good medicine or bad medicine.
Okay, back to the calls we go. We shall go to Jerry in California, first-time caller. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling.
Hi, George. It's you've got the greatest show on earth. I just have to tell you that. Bruce, I talked to you about 10 years ago, and I have a question and a comment. My first question is, I dabble in astrology, and I was wondering if the seven-year period that you're referring to has anything to do with the first quarter of the Saturn cycle.
I wish I could answer that, and I totally put a lot of faith into the nature of the matrix of energy in which we evolved as being totally influential in our lives, which it is. And I can't really speak of the details of that. Maybe you can inform us.
Yeah. Well, it gets Saturn seems to have something to do with our growing up, right?
Well, I thought I had a midlife crisis issue because it comes like every 40 years or something, right?
No, every 28. That's why I say it's a quarter of the...
Oh, okay.
A quarter of the clock. And I just found it interesting that you were using 7 years, and I thought maybe there was a connection there.
The only reason I come up with 7 years is that when you track the EEG activity of brain development, you find that the first 7 years, the brain is predominantly in theta, which is just below consciousness and, as I said, a state of hypnosis.
Oh, I see.
And it's very critical because it's the only way a young individual will be able to learn all the rules to become part of a society, because you couldn't put them in a classroom and teach them this stuff. So nature facilitates by programming it.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Jerry. Bruce, how long have you been doing this? I mean, how did you get involved in this area?
Well, I was a cell biologist. I was working on stem cells. I was working on stem cells. Actually, my first stem cell cultures, cloning them, was in 1967, so 45 years ago. And at that time, there were just a few of us in the whole world that actually knew what stem cells were. And the simple experiment, which if I just get a minute to say it, because it's so profound, and it worked like this. I put, what is a stem cell? First of all, it's an embryonic cell. And why do we have stem cells? The answer is because every day we lose hundreds of billions of our cells, die from aging and trauma, et cetera. We have to replace them because you're losing that many every day. You have to replace them. In fact, you have to replace the entire lining of the digestive tract. The entire lining gets replaced every 3 days. So where do all the new cells come from? They come from stem cells. And I say, yeah, but what are stem cells? I say, look, the moment before you're born, I take a tissue section, I point to a cell, I say, this is an embryonic cell. And the minute after you're born, I do the same tissue section, point to the same cell, and go, this is called a stem cell. So basically, when you're born, I can't call it an embryonic cell anymore, but it's a multipotential embryonic cell. So I put one of them in a petri dish all by itself. It divides every 10 hours. After about a week, I have 50,000 cells in the dish. They're all genetically identical. While I'm teaching in the classroom medical students the basis of genes controlling our lives, now I have these cultures of stem cells. I have 50,000 genetically identical cells. I split the culture into three petri dishes, and I change the environment, which is the culture medium. Change the composition a little bit in each of three different plates. And in one plate, the cells form muscle. In a second dish with a different environment, the cells form bone. And in a third dish with still a different environment, the cells form fat cells. And you're left with a very simple and profound question: what controls the fate of the cells? And then you start with this: they're all genetically identical. So the only thing that was different was the environment. And that's when I started to realize, oh, my God, I was teaching genes control things, and it turned out the research revealed, no, they didn't. The environment controlled it, and there was a major split between me and all my colleagues. and I was considered totally weird, and I left the university. I walked out of my tenured position at the University of Wisconsin, but later I got picked up at Stanford, and I did the work and advanced it even more at Stanford. And after I completed it and published my research, I left again because I saw the system was too locked into the genetic vision and the genetic corporation to look outside of that box and see. But since then, and this is fun for me because when I first started giving these lectures about environment-controlling cells, all my colleagues say, oh, you're crazy, and stuff like that. And then just recently, a couple of years ago, I was giving a lecture, and a scientist came up to me at the end and said, Bruce, what are you saying that's new? And so it's kind of fun. In the 45 years, I went from freaking them out, and today I bore them with the same story because there's now a science that supports all of this stuff, and it's called epigenetics. And for those that are not familiar with it, genetics, when I say genetic control, that's the story of control by genes. And when I say epigenetic control, it's a revolution because the prefix epi means above. So if you say epigenetic control, you're literally saying control above the genes. And now we know it's the environment and our perception of the environment that activates the genes and can rewrite the genes, rewrite the expression of the genes. You could be born with totally healthy genes, and in a wrong environment and with an incorrect belief, you can generate cancer and you can die from the belief alone. And this becomes important because first, our story of genes controlling people made people victims. You didn't pick the genes as far as you know. You can't change them if you don't like them. And all of a sudden, you realize I'm a victim. Genes control my life. I'm going to get cancer or Alzheimer's. It's running in my family. And once you're a victim, you look for a rescuer. and mm-hmm. then intercepts the pharmaceutical industry to say, yeah, I'll rescue you for this much money.
and they never do.
They never do, and they make more money. And that's like the strangest thing about it. The more money we throw into the health care, the worse our health has become. So it's obviously something is wrong with the logic there, and the answer is simple. Health care is now a corporate entity, not intended for the benefit of the patient, but for the benefit of the investor.
And do cells have memory?
Cells have a certain amount of memory, but not the kind of memory of like I like chicken McNuggets or something like that. Cells have memory because they get programmed to perform in a certain way in the environment in which they live, and they will perform that way until the environment changes and changes the genetic readout. So there is a genetic readout that is adjustable, but it's also changeable based on where you are in the world and what you're doing. But they don't have the memory of who you are as an entity or your biological, you know, the things that you've done in your history. But there's a memory out there, and the relevance about it is this. The memory is in the field, and the cells accommodate the memory. So the cells organize and shape themselves to fit the field. It's very much like you sprinkle iron filings on a piece of paper and they form a random pile, and you keep doing it every time you sprinkle them, random pile. Then one day you put a magnet under the paper, you sprinkle the iron filings, and now all of a sudden there's this fabulous structure of all the iron filings giving shape to the magnetic field. And the question is, well, you know, what shaped the iron filings? The answer is they didn't shape themselves because there was no structure when you sprinkle them alone. The structure comes from the field. So make the cells the equivalent of iron filings and recognize the field in which we live is influencing the shape of the iron filings, just as the magnet in iron filings did. But these are our cells, so our biology is a complement or confirmation to the field.
Let's go to Rosalyn in Provo, Utah. Rosalyn, go ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
I tell you, Mr. Limpton, you've revolutionized my life tonight.
Well, Rosalyn, I hope it's empowering because that was the whole intention.
Well, usually I'm asleep. I'm not even aware of what's going on. But I am so excited. I'll probably be up the rest of the night.
Well, you should. Good.
Yeah. Okay. I get what you're speaking about. I've had a frail understanding of the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. I'm a nurse. I've seen a lot. I'm 76 years old, and I can tell you there are so many questions in listening to you tonight that I had that are now answered. I have just been diagnosed with lupus, and I know why, because I really want to die. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of where I live. But, you know I can turn it around.
You sure can. And let me tell you one thing that Bruce has been talking about all night, and that is to create that state of bliss. Bruce, I want you to react to her when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM with final phone call.